On today's episode of the Glue Guys, there is a surprising amount of Nets trade smoke, even though we're about to enter the NBA Finals. So we will talk about Paul George to the Nets, Victor Oladipo to the Nets, Miles Turner.
Not to the Nets.
We won't talk about Miles Turner, but we will talk about the big trades that may happen to the Nets. Plus, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving were on a podcast together. Brian and I will suss out how we felt about their conversation.
Okay.
Welcome back to the Glue Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello. How dare you?
I've been trying to creep in early and earlier.
Hello.
Do you know that it makes my editing process 10 seconds harder, Brian?
I want them to overlap. I want it to be that kind of energy. How's it, Mike? How are you? It's the Glue Guys.
Hey, it's the Glue Guys at BK Glue Guys on Twitter, netsdaily.com, The Athletic. Get in behind the net.
Get in the game.
Get in behind The Athletic's paywall for just a buck a month. Go to theathletic.com/glueguys. iTunes, 5 stars. We need them. We want to have them. We are like a verbal NASCAR uniform with the amount of advertisements and promos that we do. Brian, how are you?
I'm well. I'm doing well. Everything's good. Can't complain.
You know what also is good? Victor Oladipo.
Getting right into it. Wow.
Getting right into it. There is, as I said in our little tease at the top, there's like a nice little bit of Nets trade rumors floating around the internet as we sit here today on September 29th, the birthday of my sister, Michelle.
Congrats.
Shouts to Michelle.
Big congrats. Another trip around the sun.
So we will talk Victor Oladipo trade rumors, Paul George trade rumors, and sort of the overall impact. And I have one trade that I love that does not involve either of those two players that I will unfurl also on this pod. It does not involve Caris LeVert either. It is a role player trade that I think could really unlock a lot of things for the Nets.
Exciting.
Victor Oladipo, Brian. There's a report out there from Jared Weiss of The Athletic. Jared's a great guy. Jared reported that Victor Oladipo may want out of Indianapolis, which is where the Indiana Pacers play. Now, we dove into our thoughts about Victor Oladipo on our award-winning Blue Ribbon LeVert Line podcast.
By the way, congrats on the Oscar you won for that. That's right, they give Oscars for that.
The posthumous Oscar I've already won.
Yeah.
So if you don't know, if you haven't listened to it yet, I urge everyone to go back to our LeVert Line two-parter podcast, which essentially is what we did was we figured out Caris LeVert's trade value. But Brian, in the podcast, was Victor Oladipo. And now we know for a fact that he may want to get out of Indiana. I'm not going to ask you a trade package necessarily, though. You can take it there if you like. What are your thoughts on Victor Oladipo and his relationship to possibly being the Brooklyn Nets?
Yeah, it's an interesting way we talked about this when we were discussing him on that award-winning podcast, as you mentioned. I think the take back then was like, wait a few months to see if he's still a healthy boy. And so that it's a weird time, I guess, for him to be asking for a trade. If it's as clear as that, if he's just like straight up, I'm asking for a trade versus, hey, what do we think we can get for me? I mean, I don't know. Is the reporting as severe as like, I am ready to GTFO out of this town? Is that what level of emergency I need to get out of this off this team are we at?
You know, I am Googling that as you speak. Yeah. Like, what was the level of urgency that Jared reported it? It is what it is. Here it is.
Yeah, so taking the temperature.
Jared Weiss buried an interesting piece of information into an article about the Celtics' future. This is the quote, with Victor Oladipo looking to move on this offseason, according to sources. So it was one of those like sly little like, hey, it's happening. It wasn't the whole story. No. It was part of a story.
Buried.
Jared's probably hearing it from a few different places if he's putting it in there. This isn't just like conjecture. It is reported. I understand why Victor Oladipo would want to be in Indiana now. I mean, Nate McMillan was fired or parted ways or mutually agreed to part ways, whatever way we want to discuss it now. The team has been an awkward fit with Miles Turner and Sabonis. Victor Oladipo also seems like the kind of guy that really likes to be a team-up bro. You know, he has those vibes where he, well-connected in the NBA. He's been in the AAU circuit. He's from the DC area, which may be the Kevin Durant connection.
An entertainer he's as just, well. Got a good knack for
He was on the Masked Singer, or what was right? That was the show?
The Mask. The movie, the film.
Great movie, Jim Carrey. Top eight, Jim Carrey?
So you said top A?
Top eight?
Top eight.
The Mask? What's your number one Jim Carrey movie?
Oh, gotta go Eternal Sunshine.
Oh, stop it.
You're such a loser.
Well, what? You think I'm being serious? Come on. I knew that that's what you want. You're just, I can see you greasing your palms.
Do you read Infinite Jest as you're watching?
I often do. I like to overlap those two. Yeah. Just get it all.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to act like I'm cool. I mean,
Please don't. That you have like an actual authentic, unironic answer to that is already in not cool territory.
Do you remember how big of a deal Jim Carrey was when we were growing up?
You know that a psychic told him that he was going to get famous because of three films. That's what happened. It was a psychic in New Orleans. I was an old episode of Howard Stern is where I got that tidbit from.
Do you think if you received that piece of information that you would then believe that you would be famous? I mean, you were a visual arts major.
That's correct. So fame was
you
already
did maybe follow you. You did follow a path similar to Jim Carrey.
In many ways, yes. Yeah, in many ways. but like, and then the three movies, I'm sure you can name those three movies. We don't have to. You already know.
No.
Ace Ventura.
Well, but now I feel like I'm on the spot and I'm not going to nail it.
Yeah, you weren't.
Right?
And Eternal Sunshine.
Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
No. Victor Oladipo.
Yeah.
My general feeling, to put it out there, I understand why he's intriguing. The thought of Victor Oladipo, defense, can create on his own, of course. Aggressive both offensively and defensively. He has a nice vibe in terms of what he would bring to the court. You know, I had talked previously about a Spencer Dinwiddie for Pat Beverly and Landry Shamet swap, and we will discuss the Clippers coming up. Victor Oladipo is 10 times what Pat Bev is offensively, and at his best, Oladipo is not all that different from Pat Beverly. So you're getting a potentially plus defender and a guy who can create his own shot and fit in also with, you know, he fit in with Sabonis and a couple of other guys within a teamwork. But you're 100% right. You don't make a Victor Oladipo trade without getting more data, right? It is like, I'm trying to think of like some comparable within finance. It'd be like going on Shark Tank when a business has only been active for 3 months and they've only sold 20 parcels of whatever they make. If they're a sweatshirt printing business and they only sold 20 sweatshirts, but yet they go in Shark Tank and ask for $2 million for a 10% valuation.
Well, it actually would be more
if
like
Mark Cuban. You don't invest.
It'd be more like they had sold like a million sweatshirts. And then for some reason they went on hiatus. He didn't go on hiatus, right? He got injured, but then came back and sold 20 sweatshirts. They'd be like, so what happened here with the business? That's sort of where that's the only little data point I would insert there.
Their founder went to jail for insider trading.
Yeah, sure.
And
sure,
he now is out of jail. And there's a potential that he is back to the businessman that he is. I mean, let's think about Martha Stewart. Martha Stewart went to jail and came out, and she's
better than ever.
Great.
Better than ever. You know that she has a whole house full of wicker baskets,
you know,
in Connecticut. Did you know that?
She just has a wicker house. Hashtag wicker house.
I think that there is going to be that there. We should take a break here because there's a long delay. It seems like in our whereby call. Are you noticing this?
Yep. Yeah, there's a laggy lag. Yeah. So let's do this. Let's take a quick break.
Yeah.
We'll come back, talk a little more Victor Oladipo, and we'll get into Paul George Goss. Week 3 of football is in the books, and now it is time to review the tape and get ready for Week 4. There is no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And here's something special DraftKings is doing for new users. All new users can get the chance to turn $1 into $100 when they bet on any team. That's right. You can place a $1 bet on any team, and if that team wins, you can cash a cool Benjamin. How could you pass that up? I'm telling you, it is amazing. It is such a deal. What you need to do right now, go to your app store on your phone and download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code QUICK when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. Here's the deal again. Pick any team during week four of football, bet $1 on them, and win $100 if they win. That's $1 to win $100 when you use promo code QUICK during sign-up. It's for a limited time only. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey only. Profit boost terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for more details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
So let me ask you this, Byron, about Victor Oladipo. Do you think there's any way that the Pacers would give up Oladipo if the Nets don't give Caris LeVert in that package? Meaning, is there any way they make that trade without LeVert being in that trade package?
Yeah, and this is why I kind of was asking about the level of urgency, which let's make a random scale, an urgency scale, if you will, out of 1 to 39.
Well, let's do it this way. Okay, sure. Melissa McCarthy's career, okay?
Okay.
Previously massively hit maker, but her past like 7 movies have not made any money. She has an urgent,
yeah,
very urgent. So Melissa McCarthy's career is at the top
versus Bill Murray, who has no zero urgency.
Zero urgency. So yeah. Bill Murray's the bottom.
Yeah.
What career is Victor Oladipo's trade?
No, I have to think of a third person.
I would say it's Jennifer Lawrence.
Okay. Okay.
Because Jennifer Lawrence had hits, and she probably could still open a movie, but there's still some doubt seeping in that, like, wait, is she actually that big of a star?
Mm.
So I put Victor Oladipo's trade desires and heat right at Jennifer Lawrence's career.
Okay.
Which is, there's some pressure.
Yeah.
But it's not overwhelming where, like, it's make or break.
Right. And that's important pressure to talk about. And I was more talking about the pressure that he's putting on Indiana to trade him, like, right away, you know?
Yeah, I know. And I had to, I knew that's what we were doing, but also I had to, like, somehow fit in this analogy. So I apologize.
Which is a close, it's, I mean, we're almost on it, but yeah. I mean, that's good to know, too. That's also good to know that he's like Jennifer Lawrence in that very particular way. And that's true. So, but yeah, I would say, like, depending on how serious the urgency that he's placed on Indiana is, like, it doesn't seem like a good time for this trade for any party involved. Indiana probably doesn't want to trade him while his value is unknown and possibly quite low compared to where it could be in a couple of months. Oladipo might want to trade because he just doesn't want to be living in Indiana. Who knows why? I mean, for the on-court reasons that you mentioned seem legit as well. Although how much tension could Miles Turner possibly be creating in this situation? Like he's fine. He's like slightly above average, but like, I mean, how much thrust does he possibly have in this situation?
He seems like one of the like ideals of a teammate, which is he plays defense at a really high level and then just gets the hell out of the paint. Just avoid, like, offensively, like, here, Victor, here's the entire runway. Here's Sabonis. You get the free throw line on in. Like, I will float around the three-point line, and I am willing to sacrifice offensive buckets and offensive rebounding for you guys to do whatever you want. Like, it seems like he's that's the kind of teammate that you would want if you're Victor Oladipo.
So let's dig into the goss then. What do you think is the goss? Like, who is, like, why does Oladipo want out if this is to be taken at face value?
I think he probably realizes the conundrum that Paul George also realized himself, which is like, what's my ceiling with the Pacers with a team that will never be able to bring in a free agent unless if it's like broken down Gordon Hayward looking to return home to Indianapolis, right? Like that the old IU star or Butler star who, like, if Eric Gordon decided that he wanted to come back to Indianapolis, well, you're not really getting peak Eric Gordon or peak Gordon Hayward. You're getting like little rusty, little creaky Gordon Hayward and Eric Gordon. So like, and if I'm Victor Oladipo, he seems like someone who is like striving, continually striving to be on, like, to be noticed more for his singing or noticed more for his game. He's a motivated person.
A clout chaser is what you're saying.
He's a clout chaser. He is. So I can see him saying, this is my moment. Right. And I also want to get traded now and not just be a free agent, because my contract's going to be better if I get traded now and get sent to a team that then can decide how they want to re-sign me, as opposed to only being able to go to teams that are going to have space next all season. Now, there are going to be a lot of teams that do because of the Giannis sweepstakes, right? Like, there are a lot of teams that are preparing their cap sheets. Who knows what cap sheets will look like in Corona? I just think, like, your coach gets fired. He takes a cold look at the team and he thinks, what am I really competing for with this squad? I want to go to these three teams for my final year before free agency to like win a bunch of basketball games, play really well, and then make a, you know, max contract or whatever he's wanting to do. And the Nets are one of those teams. Like, if he got on the Nets and the Nets wanted him and, you know, Kevin Durant wanted to play with him and Kyrie Irving wanted to play with him, he would have a great career or a great season, and he likely would increase his value more than he would by being all the pressure on him in Indianapolis.
But is he the guy, Mike? Is he ultimately, in your mind, a peak Oladipo is the perfect fit for this trade?
No.
Yeah, it seems.
No, particularly if you keep Caris LeVert, right?
A lot of overlap, a lot of weird overlap. I don't know. And I think we might be able to do better. I don't know, with the pieces that we have.
Well, and so there's the rumor of the Jrue Holiday. This is the Scoopy Robinson report, which we continually reference. Jrue Holiday for Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, and two first-round picks or a first-round pick or whatever. You'd rather, even though Jrue Holiday is more expensive and he's older, you'd rather have Jrue Holiday for that package than you would with whatever it would take to get Victor Oladipo, unless the Victor Oladipo trade package is Garrett Temple and Torian Prince and a first-round pick, which it won't be. But that's like the only acceptable version of this, I think. I'm not giving up Dinwiddie for Oladipo at this point.
There it is. There it is. do you want to talk about that Paul George stuff? Is that where this is headed?
I would like to talk about the Paul George stuff. So this is coming from a source which I cannot verify as being like the
it's Twitter. It's a Twitter source.
Yeah, it's Twitter. It's so Jason McIntyre, who is a legit guy, you know, he started the Big Lead or whatever, or was head of the Big Lead at one point, which is a sports blog. He's on Fox Sport One a lot. So like, he's a guy who hears stuff. He tweeted out the other day something that I thought was interesting, that was essentially, hey, after Doc Rivers got fired, it said, hey, look at this. Don't keep an eye emoji on this. Paul George to Brooklyn for Dinwiddie, LeVert, and picks. It would set up Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Paul George in the East. We did talk about Paul George before, Brian. What are your Paul George
thoughts? Can I also just recommend, so everyone go check out that tweet. I'm sure based on what we said, it's not going to be too hard to find. Maybe you want to drop an ad on that. I do recommend reading through the thread because it is a perfect encapsulation of what NBA Twitter, the height of NBA Twitter thought profiles. I mean, like the consistency of like people who are just like, the same one-liners, even like one-liners about like, if they see someone who's like, literally a Phillies jersey, not even a 76ers like thing, just in their like profile picture, it's some guy like ripping on how Ben Simmons can't shoot threes like that. And then like in their profile picture, the bio will be something to the effect of like dropping truth, not afraid to say what's on my mind, stand back for these truth bombs. So anyways, it's some really good. I just got lost in that Twitter thread pretty hard there.
Here's a good one from Femi, who follows us on Twitter too. He says, Caris LeVert - rising star. Spencer Dinwiddie, sixth man of the year candidate. Paul George, playoff choke artist.
Yes.
That's a negative for Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like everyone who is a Nets fan, no one wants that trade, which is like kind of crazy.
We have goldfish memory, people. There's an endemic problem of goldfish minds. And we all suffer. I'm not saying me like excluded. I am this way. But like, Paul George should not just be 100, like, it's amazing how we just build narratives around a player and then, like, that's it. That is the beginning and end of any of his trade value. He just sucks and he's a choke artist. Like, fuck that guy. It's Paul George. He's amazing. He's one of the, like, the top 10, maybe 20 players. I mean, obviously 20, but maybe 10, in the league statistically when he's at his best. I mean, it's a really good NBA player, you guys. And that's not to say anything about his trade value. I'm just mostly talking about how crazy it is the way people talk about players with very small little like data theater moments.
He is the ideal third star. If we're building a third star in the NBA 2K lab, Paul George is that. It is defensive versatility, really good shooter, doesn't necessarily need the ball constantly in his hands to be effective on offense, and kind of his personality, which he's getting playoff P that we now mockingly call him. Mm-hmm. His personality would kind of fit, which is like, yeah. He's not an alpha. Dude's not an alpha, which is, yeah. I'm not an alpha. That's fine. I say that as a beta boy over here.
Wow. Full blown beta boy. Wow.
Wait, is that bad? Is that, your reaction was like, wow, Mike, don't do that.
I mean, if you want to own being a beta bitch, that's fine. that's fine. No, that's an alpha move to own your beta-ness. That's indirectly alpha.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. He's kind of the perfect fit. He would make the defense remarkably better. He would guard every top wing, and he snugly fits in as like third option guy. I mean, he's not qualified enough in terms of ball handling and like pure shot creation to be the alpha on any team. I think we're discovering that as like second banana, which is still such a weird phrase, second banana, but as the Robin on most teams, he's kind of 50-50. It's like, I can see like him and Kawhi should work better than they do, but they don't. And Paul George massively underachieved in the playoffs. So like real, like I get it, like real shots at him. I still think if he was like with a ball, not a ball dominant guard, like Russ when he was with Russ, but like a more charitable guard, like a Chris Paul, I think he would do better. But anyway,
I don't see why you haven't invoked Alicia Silverstone as Batgirl yet in the fourth Batman film of the 90s, which I can't remember the name of it because there's Batman Forever. And then there was Batman.
Isn't it Batman and Robin?
And Robin. I think that's what it is.
Wait, I thought Batman Forever, though, was the Alicia Silverstone.
Yes, Alicia. That's how it's pronounced. No, that one's Batman Forever with Chris O'Donnell and as Robin and Val Kilmer and...
Oh, wow.
What's his face? The guy, Jesus, the most important one. Oh, my God.
Jim Carrey was in it,
Jim Carrey as well as the Riddler.
Jim Carrey was the Riddler. Batman and Robin, you're right, with Alicia Silverstone.
Oh my God, I have to think of the Two-Face's
Arnold
name.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course, Clooney, everyone knows it's Clooney, Uma Thurman, and Pat Hingle. Who could forget that Pat Hingle was in it?
Old Patty.
And Elle McPherson.
So my point is, though, that like, you know, as a Batgirl, Paul George would be eminently qualified. I mean, like, let's also not, I mean, so yes, they're plummeting out of prominence in the playoffs against the Nuggets. Shameful, debased, terrible. You know, you should be humiliated. I'm just kidding. It's not so bad. But it is not going to be expected to shoulder any kind of brunt of any kind of falling out going forward or anything. It might be a good time for this. And do you know if, like, so Doc has left. What are the memes on this team right now? Like, are the memes that they're trying to, like, do 1 year of Paul George after everything that they gave up for him and flip him? That cannot possibly be the memes.
That's why I don't want to doubt Jason McIntyre's reporting on this, but I question why the Clippers would ever think about this move, right? Because Jovan Buha of The Athletic wrote a really nice piece about the behind the scenes drama that led to Doc Rivers's outing. And the real reason why Doc Rivers is no longer the coach, there's a couple of reasons, but one of them is that he kept playing Montrezl Harrell in at center over Ivak Zubac. And Zu is, statistically, if you look at analytics, one of the better defensive centers in the NBA, and Doc refused to play him. It had nothing to do with like how Doc motivated Paul George or helped Paul George go along. And if you're the Clippers, like, do you really want your team to become, so it'd be Dinwiddie, LeVert, Kawhi Leonard, Zoo, and, you know, whoever else they have out there at that point. I'm not sure. Maybe Montrezl Harrell is playing still, but it doesn't really make you better. like to disperse that much talent, what you maybe want to do is try to trade Lou Williams for a real point guard or something. Like, it doesn't make sense why the Clippers would want to get rid of Paul George right now. And there doesn't, besides maybe that there has been some reporting also from Sham Sharania of The Athletic that players of the Clippers eye-rolled Paul George in the locker room when Paul George, when they lost the Nuggets finally in seven games and choking away a 3-1 lead, Paul George was saying to everyone, "Hey guys, everyone should come back and just like, we should all get back together and do this one more time because we'll be better next season." Like, that's not a reason to trade him and blow it up.
And I also think that that's true. I'm not even sure that they do have to change that much. Like, so they had a great, like, you know, a slightly banged up. They were protecting their minutes quite a bit over the course of the season and then like tried to bring it together for a run, which like by any metric was pretty good. I mean, they got pretty far into the playoffs.
Yeah.
It was fine.
And it's a weird, it's strange that like teams are taking these drastic steps in the COVID season that we're under, right? Like the bubble, like how can you really fully evaluate if these teams are all heading to the bubble and dealing with weird situations that they're dealing with? I don't think it's just people are making drastic decisions in a really strange time.
Can I also say that they hit a really weird team to plan for in the Nuggets? Like, and also like, I think low key, the Nuggets are going to be super good for a while here. I mean, that's an interesting team playing a unpopular brand of basketball at the highest level right now. So what, a difficult like matchup. I don't know. It's a weird matchup.
The one thing I could see the Clippers doing, and this is why I think the Nets are out of the Paul George conversation, is I could see the Clippers making the Russell Westbrook for Chris Paul type trade, which is like one star for one star. We're not going to trade one star for like three good starters. Because you would still want a big two. Like Kawhi Leonard obviously has won a championship without having a legit second star when he won in Toronto. But like you would still want to have like a like Paul George next to you. You really wouldn't want Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert if you're just Kawhi Leonard. So like I could see them making like Russell Westbrook for Paul George, and that would be funny. That Paul George gets passed around from team to team, and then he's now with James Harden in Houston. Or you know, you could see like Paul George for name any other star in the NBA. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you make.
Actually, kind of. If I'm kind of like that though, fit though, kind of just thinking about the Harden Paul George fit now.
Makes sense. Yeah. Right. Again, I'm going to state this clearly, and I know people don't like this. If the Nets do get offered, hey, we'll give you Paul George if you give us Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie, you make that trade.
That's going to happen. Yeah. Everyone that's being like hoity-toity about that needs to take a long look in the mirror. Just go for a walk. You know, just think it through a little bit, because that's going to happen big time.
Before we stop the show today, I have two things. One, I just want to do this quick trade. I want to float a trade out to you, and then I want to talk a little Kyrie, KD. They were on a podcast together on KD's new podcast. Here's a trade I like, okay? So I'm reading Sam Vecenie from The Athletic, and he does these really great team-specific draft boards. Sam Vecenie is The Athletic's NBA draft analyst. He's extremely thorough. So what he'll do is he'll take a team like the Cleveland Cavaliers and sort of run through their roster and then which prospects then that they should consider at their draft pick. And as he was running through his roster, he brought up Larry Nance Jr. And Larry Nance Jr. is known as a really good defender, versatile defender. And if you look at the rest of the roster, so they have Darius Garland and Colin Sexton, two young guards that they hope to be really good. They have Kevin Porter Jr., another young guard that they really like. And then they have Kevin Love and Andre Drummond, who Love probably isn't going anywhere because no one's going to want him. And Drummond's probably going to stay because he's going to get max money on a player option. And he's not going to get max money if he leaves. Greg Logan's favorite player, by the way, Andre Drummond. So a guy like Larry Nance Jr., who's making $12 million a year on a bad team, who is a role player, may not really fit there, right? Like there may not be much necessity for him, even though he has a lot of value. I love myself some Larry Nance Jr.
There it is.
And I think he is the exact type of player that the Nets should be targeting. He was on the Lakers, so he got plenty of publicity. He's a dunk contest guy, so many people know him. But he's like the Jeremy Grant trade that the Nuggets made to get Jeremy Grant from Oklahoma City. They're pretty similar players, and it's like that, like, Jeremy Grant would be amazing on the Nets, but that type of player is exactly who the Nets should be targeting, which is like the mid-tier role player who has defensive versatility. Larry Nance shot 35% from three this year. He only shot three attempts a game, so it wasn't like an extreme volume. So, but 35% is good enough to where if he's out on the floor with KD, Kyrie, and Joe Harris and Caris LeVert or whatever, he's going to give you enough shooting that it'll make sense. Plus, he can play small ball five enough.
I'm interested. So I was just looking because I always thought of him as a big, like a true big, and he is not at all. He's 6'7". That is a hybrid, a weird hybrid.
Yeah. A weird hybrid. He looks like he's like 6'10", the way he kind of plays, yeah. Particularly because of his athleticism and he has some length to him. But he's only 6'7". So if he plays center, it's more of that PJ Tucker center and Robert Covington center than it is like
It's not even that, because it actually looks like center, which is what's like those guys don't like look like centers, I guess, to me, or like play like it. But he like is right. is. Yeah, he's like the centers on my high school team that were 6'7", just like stiff like centers.
Yeah. So here's what I'd be willing to give up for Larry Nance Jr. pretty easily. And I don't know if you can convince the Cavs of this, but I would give up this year's first and Torian Prince to work the contract. This year's first and Torian Prince for Larry Nance Jr. Because, I mean, I don't really care about Torian Prince all that much. I'll be honest. Like, I'll put it out there. But this year's first is a valuable pick, particularly for a rebuilding team like the Cavs, where they could get another bite at the apple. It's number 19 overall. And, you know, Torian Prince is not completely negative value. He would be adding actually a position of need for the Cavs. They do need a small forward who can shoot threes because they have two bigs and two small guards. You kind of want that wing player type, and they don't really have that on this team besides Dylan Wendler, who was a draft pick, I think, last year or 2 years ago. Torian Prince for this year's first. I know people think this year's first is too rich, but Larry Nance Jr. would provide a lot of flexibility defensively for this team.
And this on a day where Nets Daily has an article about Jalen Smith from your Maryland.
Yeah, I'm not a Jalen Smith buyer.
Oh, wow. A guy who's watched every Maryland game in the last 20-some-odd years? Is that...
Look at Hudson Flynn, by the way, of Talking Nets. Probably know. I think he goes to Maryland and is currently in college right now.
Is that a big shout-out to Hudson? Big shout-out.
Yeah, big fan. Look at Jalen's legs, Brian.
Okay.
If you can Google Jalen Smith's legs...
All right.
They are skinnier than my wife's legs. And my wife has got a set of legs on her. He's one of the weirder bodies. He is built he's like Dwight Howard at the top and Shane Larkin at the bottom.
So this is a classic Glue Guys take. We're just basing it entirely on the shape of the body here. This is where we're at with our analysis.
Jalen Smith is athletic. He can shoot threes and he can not necessarily handle the ball, but he's not a disaster putting the ball on the floor for a second. But he's a weird body type. I don't think he can bang down
this
low.
It's just an elaborate like prejudice against this body type.
Look at his legs. I mean, Google Jalen Smith legs.
It's very much of the Clint Capella sort of model, right?
Nickname is Sticks because his legs are so skinny.
banging is not in vogue anymore. We already have, and we have two bangers, like sort of, I guess.
We got enough bang bros, yeah, you know?
Exactly. We're already on. We're on the bang bus already.
So I'm willing to give up a shot at Jalen Smith for...
Wow.
Larry Nance Jr., by the way, I should mention his contract. 4 years declining. I think maybe then it will be 3 years declining salary at like 11, 10, and 9. That's a pretty good, like... That's a good contract to have for a role player. He would be easy to trade on some level. This is Jeremy Grant before we started talking about Jeremy Grant so much. Larry Nance Jr. is that. So if you want Jeremy Grant, go get Larry Nance Jr. And he's a guy who can play crunch time for you defensively for sure. And he provides a lot of defensive versatility.
Can I also say this? Whoever is representing Jalen Smith is working overtime the last 24 hours. We got a Sports Illustrated spot for the Raptors, taking a deep look at Maryland's floor spacing big Jalen Smith. We have Air Alamo reporting on NBA draft prospect Jalen Smith, saying all the right things about the San Antonio Spurs. We have your boys at Nets Daily talking about Maryland's Jalen Smith, says Nets were aggressive in pursuing him in the draft interview. This guy is motor mugging. Now I'm off. I'm selling Jalen Smith too. Plus, also we have Jalen Hands already, so our Jalen quota is met.
Is just too high.
It's incredibly high. Our cup runneth over of Jalen.
They'll have to you have to bring both Jalens in and do one of the challenges from the show, The Challenge. Maybe one where they have someone strapped to their back as a backpack, and then they have to run and someone has to do some. We'll figure it out.
I'll workshop it.
One last thing here, and then we'll be gone and out of your ears. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving on a podcast together. Kevin Durant has his own podcast called The Etceteras.
Okay.
His co-host, who I do like, I've only heard him for 30 minutes, but I like him. They met Kevin Durant says he met him on one of his burner accounts on Twitter.
Amazing.
And they struck up a friendship.
Wow.
And it's pretty good. Durant is a pretty good podcast host already. Better than me. Which is sort of really hurts.
Mike, what is this? What is this beta behavior you've been exhibiting this episode? It's not true. It's not right.
Thank you. That's why I'm saying this.
Right,
so that
I get it.
Compliment.
And that's why.
But one, I urge everyone to go listen to it because you're going to hear Kyrie Irving at his most unfiltered while talking to Kevin Durant. You listen to some of it. I listen to some of it. What were your impressions of what you heard and what were things that stood out to you in the conversation?
Gosh, what stood out to me? Well, here's a weird thing. We went to that. We both did the same 2 years, a 2 year stint, a cup of coffee at Montclair Kimberly Academy. So we share that bond, me and Kyrie. I was not there on a basketball scholarship. That was not my reason for being there. Although it is funny to say, he kind of undersells, everyone there, playing on that team, basketball was a second option for them. And that's a hilarious misrepresentation of how far down the option hierarchy professional basketball career would have been for the rest of the team at the Montclair Kimberly Cougars. That is not a good team. They're the worst basketball program, and much respect. I don't know if this is true now. A lot of friends in Jersey who might disagree with this take, but it's the worst basketball program in a 40-mile radius, maybe. There's just nothing nothing competitive about that. They lose to the other, they're ranked low in those other suburban private school, that whatever that league would have been. I imagine he was probably just absolutely having the time of his life putting up numbs. Actually, it sounds like he wasn't. It sounds like he wanted the real competition at St. Pat's. So I'm glad he found it, because now he's playing on the Nets, and that's probably why. But yeah, other than that, I don't know that anything rocked my world. I don't know. Did you have anything?
I think my thing is Kyrie is one of the most, his words are the most sort of put through the mill of the internet more than anyone else. Right. We can go back to the time when the players were having discussions of whether they should continue to play or go to the bubble after George Floyd's murder. And Woj called Kyrie the disruptor, and Woj got pushback enough that the ESPN changed the headline, I'm pretty sure. And Woj retweeted the story and removed the disruptor category, because what Kyrie was trying to express was a doubt about whether the players could advocate for social justice if, they're stuck in a bubble. Which, everyone is litigated. Now we have seen what the bubble is like and what is done for the social justice movement. I don't know if it's done everything right, but it's done something. So Kyrie will say something this team needs to get better and we need these players to stay on the team. And then the players I don't mention maybe are the guys who are expendable, right? He says those things to the media and then we chop it up. What I liked about the podcast was, why you like all podcasts is you get the full picture of a person. You hear their words in full sentences, in a full paragraph, and you're not just getting the New York Post two words that are pulled out and put into the headline, and then the one sentence that then we base our entire belief system off of that one person. Now, Kyrie is like, I actually really like hearing him talk. Like when he was on, what was he on? The Knuckleheads that we like to reference when he was with Jason Tatum on the show. Like when you listen to that interview, you like Kyrie more than you like Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum's a quiet, doesn't really talk.
Yeah, it's conversational.
Kyrie will do it. Like he'll have that talk. And he was like fully open on this KD pod talk. Like one of the best parts was him discussing actually meeting Kobe for the first time and how Kobe apparently afterwards with his team was like, who the F is this guy? Think you can just like walk up to me and talk to me and talk like a little shit to me. Like that is great. Right. And so my takeaway is that Kyrie's better to be heard and discussed and hear his words than to let Twitter tell you who Kyrie Irving is. Doesn't mean you have to like him. I just think it's informative to hear the words come out of Kyrie's mouth as opposed to the Twitters.
For sure. Do you think, you know, because Kyrie's a competitive guy, as you mentioned, and like that brought out the best in him. Do you think that we should challenge them in some way to some kind of a podcast off, like competitive podcasting? I know that you wanted to do a 24-hour podcast at one point, so we can just try to like out endurance them. If that is your that's where you think we have them beat most. Where do you think we have them beat? In what?
How many hours do you think they would stay in and actually be podcasting?
To out podcast us? Because also we have to think about how we would arrange this. Like we would be podcasting on our podcast, they'd be podcasting on theirs. But how do we? You know, how do we compare them?
How do we? Yeah. How do we do it? Well, we'd be live streaming.
Right.
There would be a live stream aspect to it.
Okay. Pulling out all the stops. Yeah.
For all of you who don't know, because how could you know? I sent Brian a rundown for a 24-hour podcast, which like 3 hours of it is just like listening to music. Like it was just like, hey, we're gonna have music on and we're gonna sit here and look at each other.
It was. I thought Mike had lost his mind. I was concerned. But now I see the vision of it. Now I get it. Now, because you want to establish dominance. You want to take a big territorial piss all over this podcasting game.
I think if we did it once a year, it'd be a thing. It would be a thing, well, Bri. All right. If we did a 24-hour podcast live stream once a year, we would be
Let's get it trending. Let's get it trending on Twitter. Let's get it going.
We just need a good charity to do this because we need to be charitable and like we need that the veil of charity to protect us from looking like assholes.
I love that they're now looking behind the veil at how like where charitable instincts actually come from. It's like, okay, so we need to have a viral podcast. We got to get some stupid charity involved.
It's why there's for every charity golf tournament.
Yeah.
The real reason is just a bunch of guys want to get together and play golf and drink. But yet they say, we will do it for charity.
Smart.
That is why these things happen.
Smart.
We are those assholes.
Good.
Or I am. You're not. You didn't agree to do it yet.
Well, now, I mean, if it's going to be a podcast off, I'm down.
Well, here's the facts. Thank you all so much for listening. You can find us on Twitter at BKGlueGuys, NetSilly.com, The Athletic, and iTunes. 5 stars. We need them. We want to have them.
We need them. We want them. We have to have them. There was missing. Yeah, we missed something there. Thank God. Thank God I picked up the pieces. Mike, we're going to need more from you when the podcast off happens, okay? Yeah. But rest easy for now. And you did a good job. You've done everything.
Crashing. Oh, I'm crashing.
Okay. Bye, everybody.